Hello, and thank you for listening to our online Victory Sermon Archive. In this segment, Pastor Nathan will be bringing a series of messages from the book of Genesis.
Genesis chapter 35. And God said unto Jacob, Arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God, and that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, Put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. Let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. They gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hands, and all their earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. I wonder if they ever dug that up, and I would really like to know where that's at, so I could go see. There'd be gold there to this day. And they journeyed in terror, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. So Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan. This is Bethel, he and all the people that were with him, and he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because their God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. But Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died. She was buried beneath Bethel under an oak. The name of it was called Alanoth-Bacoth. And God appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of Paddan-Aram and blessed him. God said unto him, Thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall be no more called Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful, multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac to thee, I will give it, and to thy seed after thee will I give it. And God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. And Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, even a pillar of stone. And he poured a drink offering thereon, and he poured oil thereon. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spake with him, Bethel. They journeyed from Bethel, and there was but a little way come to Ephrath, and Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. And it came to pass, when she was in hard labor, that the midwife said unto her, Fear not, thou shalt have this son also. And it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin. And Rachel died and was buried in the way of Ephrath, which is Bethlehem. And Jacob set a pillar upon her grave, and that is a pillar of Rachel's grave unto this day. And Israel journeyed and spread his tent beyond the tower of Eder. And it came to pass, when Israel dwelt in the land of that Reuben went in and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine, and Israel heard it. Now the sons of Jacob were 12. The sons of Leah, Reuben, Jacob's firstborn, Simeon and Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, the sons of Rachel, Joseph and Benjamin, the sons of Bilhah, Rachel's handmaid, Dan and Naphtali, the sons of Zilpah, Leah's handmaid, Gad and Asher. These are the sons of Jacob, which were born to him in Paddan-Aram. And Jacob came unto Isaac his father, unto Mamre, unto the city of Arba, which is in Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac sojourned. And the day of Isaac were 180. And Isaac gave up the ghost and died and was gathered unto his people, being old and full of days. And his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. Now, Father, I pray that you'll help me tonight, guide my words, my thoughts, my mind. A lot of things in this chapter that we've already discussed this morning. The things that we'll be discussing tonight, Lord, may it be relevant. May it help us and may it remind us of some things. And Father, for that person that may be listening that doesn't know you as their Savior, I pray that they'll trust you before it's eternally too late. Give us wisdom, guidance, and direction. In Jesus' name, amen. The journey of Jacob is almost over. Genesis chapter 35, we find Jacob's story coming to an end, so to speak. The majority of the rest of the book of Genesis, the next 15 chapters, will primarily deal with Joseph. There will be a chapter about Judah, But primarily, the rest of the book is going to deal with Joseph. We'll see Jacob a few more times, but this is basically the end of talking about Jacob as much as we've talked about Jacob. There'll be some more lessons to be learned, of course. We saw this morning that he needed to go back to Bethel. And tonight we're going to look at the four things that he buried that tied him to Paddan Aram. I'm not saying that all these things that we're going to talk about were bad. I'm saying that there's a common cord, a common thread with all that he buried here in this chapter and the country or the city or the area of Paddan Aram, a place that is not Bethel. The first thing that I want us to see is that he had to bury was he buried the idols. He buried the idols from Paddan Aram. A decision. In verse 2, you saw that God came to him and said, get you back to Bethel. And he went to his people and he said, give me all the idols. A decision that he and his house would follow God. Goodbye to the false teachings of Paddan Aram. Goodbye to the idols that came out of Paddan Aram. Hey, there are some things in our lives that you and I may need to say goodbye to that take place of our God. Would be those things in your life that are not helping you grow closer to God, but they're actually drawing you farther away. And for everybody, it's like an onion. Every one of us are peeled back differently and in different seasons of our life. Maybe God is convicting some of you about your Facebook time, how much time you spend looking at your phone on Facebook. For others, that doesn't even enter your mind that God's bothering you about that because he's bothering you about something else. And once we get one thing taken care of, don't worry, you've not arrived. There'll be more. But God is trying to get you back to where you and I need to be. He needs to start killing off those things that come from other places beside Bethel. And of course, Bethel representing a place of fellowship. See, Paddan Aram is where some of these idols came from. Some of the gold most likely came from the spoils of Shechem that we talked about in chapter 34. But we also know that idols came from Rachel, from Laban, where he was at in that country. So I see that the first thing that we have to say goodbye to here is Jacob says goodbye to Paddan Aram in the way of saying goodbye to the false idols that came out of there. The next thing that he has to bury is Deborah. Deborah is his mother, Rebekah's handmaid. We all know where Rebekah came from, right? From Paddan Aram. We all know where Rebekah's handmaid came from, right? Years ago, Abraham's servant went to Paddan Aram and found a wife for Isaac. She wouldn't go without her handmaid. Guess who her handmaid is? It's Deborah. Now he's saying goodbye to Deborah, which also ties him back to this city or this country or this area, this region of Paddan Aram. His mother's handmaid, his probably closest tie to his mother or a mother figure. Remember, he was a mama's boy. When he was growing up, he was a mama's boy. He liked to stay in the kitchen by mom. Esau liked to go outside and hunt and fish, but he liked to stay inside. He liked to cook. He liked to do all the things that his mother did. I'm not saying Jacob was a sissy by any means. I'm just saying that he was really close to his mom. His mom was really close to him. When Jacob left, thinking that he could go away for a season and come back and spend the rest of his life with his mother. You know, when Jacob left, that was the last time he ever saw his mother. His mother died when he was in Paddan Aram. But Deborah's still alive. Probably the second most important lady in his life who helped raise him or rear him, guided him, probably changed his diaper many a times and made sure that he stayed out of trouble. And she was like a mother to him. And so now Jacob is heartbroken. The Bible gives us a description of how heartbroken he is. When he buries Deborah, he buries her under an oak tree, and he calls the place Allanbacuth, which means weeping oak, or the oak of the weeping. He's mourning. We know that Jacob loved her, and we know that he mourns over her. He had to say goodbye to and bury Deborah. I'm glad that he went back to Bethel when he did. I'm glad he went back to Bethel when he did, because now he's starting to say goodbye to the dearest on earth to him. Can you imagine how more difficult this would have been if he had not gone back to Bethel? Have you ever said something like this? I don't know how anybody buries a child and they don't have Christ in their life. I don't understand how anybody could bury a spouse and not know God. How difficult it must be. Have you ever said something like that? You go to a funeral and you know it's a Christian funeral, and you say, boy, you can see the grace of God on that person's life. And then you go to a funeral where the person was questionable whether they were saved or not. And in your mind or in your heart or driving home in the car, you say to your friend, I don't know how anybody goes through this without God. I don't know how a mother buries a child without God. I don't know how a husband buries a wife without God. I don't know how a person buries a mother without God. I don't know how a person buries a father without God. I don't understand that, because you and I don't have to, because we know God. It's good to be in fellowship with God, especially when the hard times hit. And so he is saying goodbye to Deborah. This is not going to be the hardest hit of the chapter. The next one will be. He had to bury not only the idols, he not only had to bury Deborah, now he comes to having to bury the love of his life, Rachel. There are some things that I don't quite understand. I've read one commentator. I read anywhere from 2 to 6 commentators on Genesis when I study. And I can't tell you how many I read on this one chapter. But one commentator said, in order to get to Bethlehem, the house of bread, you have to go to Bethel first, the house of God. The idea is, if you don't ever get to God, you'll never get fed properly. I like that idea, but my question is, why did he ever leave Bethel? That's my question. Why did he leave Bethel? It doesn't seem like there's any pressing need to leave Bethel, but he did. And he takes his wife, 9 months pregnant now, on a hard journey to Bethlehem. It's interesting, the comparisons and the parallels. 1,500 years later, there would be another hard journey for a pregnant lady, 9 months pregnant, to Bethlehem. The difference is, Jacob didn't have to go, Joseph did. There was a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Not only was there a decree from the king of the earth that Joseph and Mary had to be in Bethlehem, but there was a divine providence from God that Joseph and Mary had to be from Bethlehem. But I don't see anything like that here. I think it might have been best, and I'm not saying that it would have been wrong for him to go to Bethlehem, but I think that it might have been best if Jacob wouldn't have taken his 9-month-year pregnant wife on a journey to Bethlehem. Seems to me it would have been best just to stay in Bethel. I can't make that judgment call. I don't know if it was wrong or right. All I do know is Rachel goes to Bethlehem and she has hard labor and she dies, giving childbirth to Benjamin. She calls him Benoi, meaning the son of my sorrow. Benjamin is the name that would be changed to. Jacob said, no, we're not going to call him Benoni, we're going to call him Benjamin, the son of my right hand. He's grieving. His beloved wife, the love of his life, most certainly the hardest of all to bury. Again, a strong tie to Padanaram. He met her there. He fell in love with her there. He worked for her there. He married her there. There is where she bore her first son, his favorite son, Joseph. There is where she learned to worship false idols. And Rachel dies. Oh, how his heart must have ached. Her story is unique. She is obviously the most beloved of the wives, the one that Jacob wanted. Yet if you were to go back to Genesis chapter 30, verse 1, you're going to hear her say something, pray for something, that we need to be careful in how we approach God about things. It's a reminder on how we need to approach God about things. Do you know that sometimes when you pray and ask God for something, He may very well give it to you, but be against His perfect will, but He may very well give it to you. For example, in Genesis chapter 30, verse number 1, here's what Rachel says. And she knows who God is. Although she worships false idols, I do believe that she knows the God of the universe because she talks to Him. And she talks to Him right here. And she says this, she says, "And when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, 'Give me children, or else I die.'" Jacob got angry. "How can I give you children? Am I God?" I don't know if she prayed to God. I hope that she did. I hope that she knew the God of heaven. I believe that she most likely did. But she says something very prophetic. "Give me children, lest I die." Maybe it would have been wiser for her to say, "God, if it be thy will, give me children." Because there's no mistake in Scripture. For some reason, God recorded that phrase for us to know in chapter 30, verse 1. She says, "Give me children, lest I die." And five chapters later, bearing her second child, that's exactly what happens. She gets a child, and she dies. It's a sobering reminder that you and I better be careful in how we approach God. It would have been much wiser for her to say something, "Dear God, if it be thy perfect will, please give us, my desire is to have children. Would you please let me have a child?" But for some reason, she said it the way she did, and for some reason, God being all omniscient and all knowing, all in His providence, God allowed her to die, giving birth to a child. Rachel, Jacob's strongest tie to Padanaram. I don't know what to make of Jacob leaving Bethel. We talked about that for a second. I don't know, but I do think it's best to stay in Bethel. Finally, the final thing that Jacob has to bury is in the latter part of the chapter. He buries his father, Isaac. The idols and the gold are a tie back to Padanaram because those idols came out of Padanaram. Deborah is a tie to Padanaram because she came from Padanaram. Rachel's a tie to Padanaram because she came from Padanaram. And Isaac's a tie to Padanaram because Isaac sent Jacob to Padanaram. Isaac sent Jacob to Laban and said, "You go to your mother's brother and get you a wife." I think about this meeting. Isaac's 180 years of age. He has been blind for several years. Remember, before Jacob ever left, Isaac was blind. He's been blind for several years, and now Jacob gets to see his father, and his father dies. The Bible says that Esau and Isaac both Esau and Jacob both bury Isaac. But I can't help but to use my imagination and going to this funeral service, this final burial of the chapter. Here he's looking upon a man and whom he deceived, lied to. A man that he broke his heart. A man that he wasn't there for when his mother died. I wonder what Jacob's thoughts were. Young person, let me just encourage you about something. There's going to be a lot of temptations in your life. There's going to be a lot of things in your life that's going to cause you to be frustrated with your parents, irritated with your parents, to think your parents are square, weird, nerdy, mean, whatever. There's going to be influences in your life that's going to probably tell you that your parents don't have an authority or a right to tell you how to live your life. I want you to know that all of that stuff is wrong. But I want you to know that there probably, if everything comes to pass the way normal things come to pass, there's going to come a day where you're going to be looking at your parents for the very last time. And it's going to be in a coffin. And you're either going to be able to look at them and say, I have no regrets. Or you're going to look at them and you're going to say, I have many. And you're going to have to make that decision now. I know it's a morbid thought, but it doesn't make it any less true. How you treat your parents is very, very, very important. Because if all things holding equal, there's going to be a day where you will bury your parent. And I can't help but think how Jacob feels at this very moment. How would you feel? Natural sorrow when a father or a mother passes away. Natural sorrow. Avoiding that, that's going to happen. But the guilt that goes along with it. Some of you in here, you may need to reconcile your relationship with your parents before it's too late. You may need to do it. Some of you need to make a decision that you're going to decide that you're going to love your parents and you're going to treat them right no matter how bad they treat you or how good they treat you. Because this is a reminder to us all. Jacob did not bury his father first. He buries his father last in the spectrum of things. He buries his lovely wife first. He buries, before that, he even buries a lady that was like his mother. But at the end of it all, he buries his father, and he didn't even get to attend the funeral of his mother, as far as I know. It's a reminder. I think there was a lot of wasted time in Padanaram. A lot of wasted time where he could have gone home. Could have gone back to Bethel anyway. It reminds me that Padanaram isn't all it's cracked up to be. You know, it was Bethel where Jacob met God, and I'm certain that Isaac instilled in Jacob some strong beliefs. But as I said this morning, you don't get God to be your heavenly father because your parents have God as your heavenly father. You have to come to that conclusion, decision on your own. Will you accept God to be your heavenly father? Will you accept the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior? Will you ask Him to be your Savior? Will you make Him your God? And no longer the God of your parents, but the God of you. And I'm sure that Jacob was instilled from his father. I'm sure that Isaac instilled in Jacob some great truths, some great beliefs about God, and maybe even got to see some beliefs and got to see some things. And Jacob did meet God, and Jacob did have beliefs. But beliefs are like hinges. They can get rusty and, if not oiled, and not used. Jacob didn't always oil and use his belief over the years, and now he has to say goodbye for a little while to the one that sent him to Padanaram. Chapter 35 has a lot of things. Go back to Bethel. Four burials. One burial needed to be buried. The other three, heartache. Reuben's wicked sin, which we didn't even talk about, must be dealt with. It is interesting when you talk about Reuben. Here's what Reuben does. Here's Reuben, the oldest son. And by the way, if you're reading the passage of Scripture and the 12 children that is mentioned, the children of Israel, you start off with Reuben and it says, Reuben! And he's the only one that gets a description. Reuben, the oldest. Jacob's firstborn. And Reuben, while his mother, or his wife, excuse me, while Reuben's mother, or stepmother, Rachel, while Jacob's wife, Rachel, is being buried, Reuben has an affair with Rachel's handmaid, who is also Jacob's wife. He has a relationship with his two brothers, Dan and Naphtali. God doesn't deal with it here. Jacob doesn't deal with it here. I don't know that it gets dealt with very much, but I promise you it gets dealt with. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. I don't know what happened to Reuben, and I don't know how God dealt with it, but I promise you this, it was dealt with. But that's all it said about that. God wanted to make sure that you knew He did it and that He was the oldest. And then God goes on. A lot of things happening in this chapter. And of course, finally, the death of Isaac. My friend, like this morning, let me encourage you to go back to Bethel. Get rid of the idols that have taken the place of God. Bury them. Destroy them. It would have been better if Isaac would have, or Jacob would have destroyed them. Remember, God will help you through the tough times. Be careful how you pray and ask God for things. Seek His will first. Be careful how you treat those that you love. You may have to say goodbye for a little while. But always know that God's grace is sufficient. If you're here this morning or this evening, excuse me, and you're lost and do not know Jesus as your Savior, then may you have a Bethel experience. You need to escape the Padanarams of life and turn to Christ. And if you are saved, let me encourage you on some of these things. Remove the idols. Treat those that you love well. You'll have to say goodbye someday, for a little while anyway. Be careful how you pray. Seek God's will and do what's right.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed the study from God's Word today. We also stream our services live on Facebook, facebook.com/Victory Baptist Church WV. Thank you so much for joining us, and have a blessed day.